point why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I got up here this morning on September 24th, 2019, and stretched, drank my coffee, took my vitamins, began to do a little bit of research, a little bit of Bible study, and realized, you know, there really isn't a whole lot to change over the last 24 hours. It really hasn't. And try to sit and analyze everything we do, want to be more effective in what we do, want to be able to try to do everything we can to try to wake up more people and understand exactly what's going on. I felt a little bit guilty, although I guess it shouldn't be as guilt. Appeared to have picked on Pastor Carter Conlon yesterday, which certainly wasn't my intention. It's the idea that the church is God's A team, folks. We are His A team, and unless we can figure out, again as an old football coach here, unless we can figure out an organized game plan, let's say a pastor, if I were a pastor, thank God I'm not, I guess. If I were to sit down and I were to make a game plan for victory as a Christian, what would it look like? Would I be able to somehow divorce myself from the affairs of the world? See, we have this great dichotomy, conflict. It's almost an ambivalency. That we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world, right? That we are just supposed to be ambassadors. We're God's ambassadors. We're just passing through. And so if I had a church with a group of people that were in front of me, and I were going to try to formulate some type of game plan or some type of battle, would it be a battle plan? Is that something we're even supposed to think about in Christianity today? To formulate a battle plan, a plan of attack? If I were going to formulate a battle plan and a plan of attack, and I knew that the scriptures told me that I was not to be ignorant of his devices, how would I go about setting up an organization to actually do what it is that the Lord has called us to do? To go into all the world, teach them to observe all I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. He said to Joshua, everywhere you put your foot, I've given unto you an inheritance. Only be strong and be very courageous. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. So time out a minute right there. Go to Joshua 1. Is that Joshua 1? Is that where that is? Bear with me a second here. Robert Klaus, get ready to do your reading here this morning. Joshua 1. Folks, this just popped in. This is stream of consciousness. Joshua book number 1. Let me find it. Connor, you're probably pulling that up here for me. If you pull it up there. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Joshua 1. Get that thing up there for me real quick. Connor, real quick. Sorry, folks, just bear with me again. Stream of consciousness. I think it's important. I want you to think about this. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua. He said, next man up, Josh. Next man up. You're the man now, Joshua. Moses is dead. You're the next dude. The Lord said to him, Moses, my servant. See, Paul Revere is dead. William Wilberforce is dead. Charles, what was his name? Spurgeon, I think is dead. I think he's dead. All of the great heroes of the faith. George Washington's dead. Thomas Jefferson's dead. Patrick Henry is dead. Men come and go. But the purposes of our faith and the purposes of Christianity, the purposes the purposes and plans of God go on unhindered. And Moses, God says to Joshua here, hey, Joshua, Moses is dead. What's that? See, Moses, my servant is dead. He said, next man up, bud, next man up. He said, since he's dead, now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you You, hey, Josh, you, dude, you arise. You and all this people under the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Listen, Moses is dead. You're the guy in charge. It's a whole bunch of land over there. See all that land over there, buddy? That is your land. I have given it to you. However, you're going to have to go get it. You're going to have to go get it. He said, Joshua, every place that you had sole of your foot to tread upon, I've given that unto you. I've said it to Moses. Moses is dead. It's a tag team handoff. Joshua, you're in charge. And I want you to know that it's all yours, dude. It's all yours. From Route 13 to Route 79, from Route 70 down to Route 22, it is all yours, baby. Every place you put your foot, I've given unto you as an inheritance. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even into the Great River. Go down the Ohio River and clear up the Lake Erie. It's all yours. And all the lands of the Hittites and under the Great Sea toward the... See, we don't even know who the Hittites are. And we don't even know what kind of land Hittites had. And we don't even understand this is a very significant statement that God gave to Moses, to Joshua. All the land of the Hittites, under the Great Sea toward the going down of the sun, that's going to be your coast, bud. He said, you got to own all of it. However, know this, there shall not be any man able to stand before you. Now, evidently, it means people are going to try to stand before him. Then, would you guys agree with that's what it said? It says, therefore, shall not any man be able to stand before you. They're going to try. They're going to try Moses or Joshua, but they can't stand before you. Why? Because I've sworn I've given it to you. It's all yours. It's all yours. All right? As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you, bud. I'm not going to fail you. No, I'm not going to forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage. Now, time out a minute. If God had already given all this land to Moses, why does he tend to be strong and courageous? It's all his. Why didn't Moses Joshua just go out there and show him what the Lord said? Look, the Lord gave it to me.
Hey, coach.
Yep.
Brother, I'm going to drop some revelation on you.
All right.
Your paralleling is why aren't pastors doing what they're supposed to do for the glory of the Lord? And we know why. They're building their ministry. Mm-hmm. You do a step, brother. Numbers 13, verse 8. It's the diamond in the rough. Joshua, his first name was not Joshua. It was Hoshua. God had to change Joshua. He changed his name in Numbers 13 when he was sent in to spy the land. His name Hoshua means strong arm of the flesh. God changes his name to Joshua, which means the salvation and the strong arm of the Lord. He was no longer doing the bidding of Joshua and strong arm of man or pastor, but the strong arm of the Lord.
Unbelievable, huh? He went from a minister to the strong arm of the Lord, right? And he says, don't miss this, folks. He said, I've given you all this land, but buddy, you're going to have to go get it. He said, there's not going to be anybody that's going to stand before you. Now, look, it doesn't mean nobody's going to stand before him because certainly people are going to stand before him. But he's saying, they ain't going to be able to do it, dude. They ain't going to be, huh? Said, I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. But listen, you got to be strong and have a good courage. Got to. For unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance of land, which I swore unto their fathers to give them. See, God is keeping his promise, not just to Joshua. He's keeping it to all the people. God's a promise keeper, see. He's a promise keeper. And then he warns him again. He said, but let me tell you something, Josh. You got to be strong and very courageous that they may observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. And don't turn from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever you go. You do what I tell you to do. You don't waver. You don't turn left or right. You keep going, and you're going to prosper in whatsoever things that you do. Keep going down, Connor. I praise the Holy Spirit for giving me this. He just gave it to me. He said, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Hey, Dale, the book of the law has departed out of the mouth of the church, hasn't it? The book of the law has departed out of the mouth of the church. Folks, it's very obvious. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Where? Meditate where? Not out of the book of the law. You may observe to do according to all that's written in there. For then shall thy make thy way prosperous, and then shall they have good success. And have not I commanded you? Third time, boys. Third time. Listen, dude, I told you, you got to be strong, courageous. Don't be afraid. Neither be dismayed. God's with you wherever you go. Why is he saying this? Because it appears to me that where Joshua is about to head, it ain't going to be pleasant work. It's going to be hard, hard work. He said, you're going to get discouraged. Don't worry. I promised you. Joshua, I just didn't promise it to you. I promised it to your inheritance. To all your heritage. I promised it to all those who came before you, Joshua. This ain't about you, man. This is about you being the vessel I'm going to work through to keep my promise to all those who came before you. This is a tag team handoff, Joshua. Be strong. Don't be afraid. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people. So Joshua heard from the Lord, and he goes out to the guys. He says, what? Pass through them and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals. For within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess land which the Lord your God gives you to possess it. By the way, this would be called prepping, wouldn't it? Huh? He said, some tough times coming. You got 3 days, baby. Get yourself ready because we're going to go someplace. We're going to take something. You better do that. And he says unto the Reubenites, who I don't know enough about, neither do you, and that's why we're so biblically illiterate. To the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to half the tribe of Manasseh spoke Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. A time out. Do we believe that the Lord gave this to our forefathers? This land, this American country, did he give it to our forefathers? Do we believe that? When we hear the famous Patrick Henry speech, give me liberty to give me, I know not what course others may take. But as for me, I ain't taking this crap anymore. Give me freedom or give me death. I ain't going, that's what Patrick Henry said. And we all love to talk about that on July 4th and all that. It's just, Patrick Henry's just repeating what God's saying to Joshua. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle, they will remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and you're going to help them. For the Lord has given you, given your brethren rest as he's given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God gave them. They have to go take it, see. So with that prayer we heard yesterday, Lord, pray that our enemies be crushed. No. Pray they be crushed and then go crush them. Then you shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the servant, gave you on this side of Jordan till the sunrise. They all got up and they said to Joshua, all that thou commandest, we will do. And wheresoever you send us, we will go. I could keep going on and on. Here's a question. Whosoever be, according to as we hearken unto Moses in all things. So we're going to listen to you, Joshua. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. And whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, put him to death. You get this? All those on our team that ain't playing on our team, and the word for me, what they're telling Moses, or telling Joshua. Anybody rebels against what you're telling us to do, won't listen to your words and all that you commanded, should be put to death. He tells them again, hey, dude, be strong and have a good courage. Kind of an odd opening, isn't it? But this is all over me this morning of the Christian heritage that we are frittering away. We know better. We are spitting or peeing on the sacrifice of those who came before us in our desire to live out pre-written Bible history, we believe. What if these guys had done that? What if Joshua had told these folks, let's go out and possess the land, and they came back and said, you know, Joshua, I was reading some of that in that Bible. It looks kind of fruitless to me. Doesn't look like we ought to be doing it because, man, you know, it's just, it looks to me like things are just going to get worse. And Joshua said, yeah, you're right. Let's all come back inside the church and let's meet and greet and have some potlucks and we'll just pray and we'll wave flags and we'll dance. We'll act like we're serving the King of Kings, even though the King of the Kings isn't the King of the Kings outside this door. when we walk outside here, we walk out into the devil's territory. You guys, do you see how foolish this is? How foolish.
Hey, Coach. They actually did that for a brief moment in Joshua chapter 7. When you read back in Numbers 13, Moses inquired of the Lord of what they were to do, and that's when he sent the spies in. In Joshua chapter 7, Joshua did not inquire of the Lord when they fought against Ai. He gathered the elders of Israel, and they said, oh, we don't need that many men, and let's just go up there. They're few, and so they sent 3,000, and they got their tails kicked. Why? Because they moved in their flesh. They went back to their flesh. Brother, let me tell you what. When they got their butts whipped, Joshua then rent his clothes. He cried out to the Lord, and he said, Lord, why did you do this? He wanted to blame God. And the Lord looked at him and said, Joshua, get up. You got sin in the camp, bud. Go deal with it.
Amen. I love when you pack, when you come in here like that. Hey, do this for me, Connor. Can I just ride this horse on out here a minute? I'm looking for him in the right place.
I also ordered that book you got there in your chest, brother, yesterday. Man, I've been listening to it. Man, it sounds good.
It is good. Judges 7. Judges. J-U-D-G-E-S. J-U-D-G-E-S. Judges number 7. Folks, just stay with me a second, and then sometimes it hits me like this. I gotta ride this horse to the end, okay? Go to Judges 7 and... let's go to verse 4, Judges 7, verse 4.
And you go in there, Coach. Remember, this is coming off chapter 6 of the Battle of Jericho, their biggest battle, their biggest victory yet. And what did they do? Man, they stepped out in their flesh.
Mm-hmm. Amen. This is Judges chapter 7, and let's start at verse 1 here. You stay with me. Stay with me here. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, I love it when the Lord says to people, don't you? And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee, you have too many cheerleaders, Gideon. You got too many of them. If you got too many people and I cannot win this battle for you, I can't let you get victory over the Midianites, unless those folks are going to think that they did it themselves. And they're going to say, my own hand saved me. So the Lord sets Gideon down and says, hey, bud, listen. Sorry. You got to get rid of some things here. He says, now go therefore to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And they returned of the people, 20 and 2,000, and there remained 10,000. You get the picture? They're having a big victory party. And there's more battles ahead. And the Lord says, hey, Gideon, first of all, I've got to go get rid of some of those hangers-on. Some of those guys are just riding on the bandwagon. So Gideon goes and says, hey, listen, boys, some of you ain't got the heart for the battle. I understand you want to get home to see your wives and your families. And I get it. He said, if your heart really isn't in this thing, you can go on home. What happened? 2/3 of them left. So it says 22,000 left, main 10,000. Do your math. There were 2/3 left, 10,000 left. And the Lord said unto Gideon, sorry, man. Some of them guys are lying because you still got too many. Got too many. He says, what I want you to do, I want you to go get those boys. I want you to bring them down to the water. And I'm going to give them a test for you, Gideon. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee. The same's going to go with thee. See, I'm going to pick the team, Gideon. I'll pick the team for you here. And whoever I say unto you, this guy's not going to go with me, then listen, Gideon, don't take that guy with you. I'm going to pick your team right now. You got too many guys. And sadly, you don't know who you can count on. So Gideon went and he brought the people down into the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, okay, here's what I want you to do, Gideon. Every one of them that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth. In other words, like this. See me on the screen here? I don't know how to. Who does this? Well, puts his head down in the water and drinks it like a dog. He said, when they do that, everyone that lappeth the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. And likewise, every one of those guys who sits down there and drinks like a dog, you're going to mark them too. And he said, here's what I want you to do. And the number of them that lap like dogs, putting their many of those who lapped. I've lost myself here. He says, take those guys and the ones that drink like dog, you put them over there. And he said, then Gideon, verse 6, there's a number of them that lapped who put their hand to their mouth and drank like this, kept their eye on the enemy and drank the water right out of their hands. Says, that's your boys. Those are your boys. And there were 300 of the men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink the water. The Lord said unto Gideon, all right, pal, these boys here, they're going to get the job done for you. And I'm going to deliver those Midianites into your hand and let all the other people go, every man into his own house. Because when this is over, this is going to be the unmistakable move of the Lord. So, this is kind of what I see is going on. And been struggling, all of us struggling, saying, where is everybody? How do we wake everybody up? See, it doesn't take everybody, folks. It just takes Samuel Adams, who was the firebrand of the Constitution, of the Declaration. We hear a lot about John Adams and John Quincy Adams. Samuel Adams was the instigator. They called him the firebrand of the Constitution. He was the one that was constantly stirring the drink behind the scenes. He was the one always picking the fights. Nobody knew that. And Sam Adams said, it doesn't take a strong majority. He says, it just takes a minority of people setting brush fires in the minds of men. That's all it takes.
That's why I call you the stick in the pot of gumbo, coach. You're behind the scenes stirring everything up.
We're stirring it up, but we're doing the best we can, right? And so I've just been thinking about this. I've been watching it in reverse. This is exactly the ploy of the devil. The devil, you know how Gideon won that battle, don't you, folks? You know how Gideon won the battle? Does anybody know that story? Other than Dale. I'm just kidding, Dale. Well, they went down there. If we'd have kept reading and Gideon would have found out that they went down there and they did what? They smashed pots. And they made noise, screamed and pounded on drums and made all kinds of noise. And they made their team seem larger and more powerful than it was. That's how they won it. There was confusion. The Bible says there was confusion in the battle because nobody really knew what was going on and what happened. The enemy ended up killing themselves. Folks, that's happening right in front of us today, and we can't recognize it.
Amen.
The people who we think are in charge are hanging on barely by their fingernails. Barely by their fingernails. They go out and they accuse Donald Trump of collusion with my brain isn't working. Doesn't matter.
Ukraine.
Biden's the one that did it. They accuse Trump of collusion with Russia when Hillary's the one that did it. And Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals is to accuse the enemy of exactly what you're doing. And you know what they're doing? You're just breaking pots and making noise. That's all. The devil's team is doing. They're not in the majority. They're not even close to being in the majority. But they've convinced you and I that they are. And what do we have? We have confusion in our camp, see. That's what happened with Gideon. When they broke the pots and they made all the noise, there was confusion in the Midianites' camp. The devil's caused confusion in our camp. We're confused. We are the majority. Folks, we are the super majority. And we don't realize that we are. There's time that we arose and time that we did. And I thought again about what Carter Conlon said yesterday. Let the weak arise. Good Lord, help us. How did we ever become identified as weak? How did that ever happen? That we became weak. And the weak have to arise. No. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. In my own flesh, I'm weak. In my own methods, in my own techniques, I'm weak. But with God, all things are possible. What has happened to us?
Hey, Coach Gideon. Gideon was a little bitty guy. He was the weakest of this whole tribe. He was a weak fellow. Now God came to him and said, I'm going to make you a strong man of God. We don't look at the flesh. We go by the heart. You know, God does.
Hey, we do. Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
You know, you just asked what has happened to us, and the Spirit just dropped into me. We have followed after our own thoughts and ideas. We have abandoned the leadership of God. That's what's happened to us.
Larry, it's so clear. Would homosexuality be legal in America if the church had stood up and been loyal to Christ? Would marriage have been destroyed if Christians, if the church had stood up with its loyalty, its fidelity to the gospel? Would it? No way. Would babies be murdered in America? 45 years of baby murder if the church was loyal to the precepts of Christ? No. So you can see what's happened to us.
Oh, it's like what Joshua did when he went before the Lord and he said, "Are you for us or are you against us?" And the Lord said, "Neither." And see, the church has said, "Are you for us or against us?" And God's telling them, "Neither. I am the captain and the Lord of hosts. Y'all need to jump on my train." And we've shoved the Lord to the side and said, "We're going to do it our way."
Dale, that's why I remind people that I believe it's in Luke when people go stand before the Lord. They say, "Lord, in your name, didn't we cast out devils? And didn't we lay hands on the sick and see him recover? And didn't we have all types of ministries? We did all these wonderful things in your name. Didn't we do that, Lord?" And the Lord says, "Let me scratch my head on it." I said, "Well, yeah, you may have done all that stuff, but I never knew you."
That's that Matthew chapter 7, Coach. We talked about this a few months ago. He said, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you." He was talking present tense. He's saying, "You might have did those things, but man, you've changed. And that's not the same person anymore." So he was talking to, I'm not talking about your past tense. I'm talking about your present tense. That's why John F. Kennedy, when he said, you know, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country?" We need to say that about the cross. We need to stop telling God to do this for us. We begin to ask the Lord, "What is it that I can do for you and your kingdom?"
You know, I believe when the world looks at Christian men, American in particular, they see weakness. They see weakness. Our children are being destroyed right before our very eyes. The enemy is infiltrating not only our schools, they're infiltrating our libraries. The enemy is infiltrating in every area to attack our children, and the church is numb, deaf, dumb, and blind. Now, who are we to expect to defend those children? Who are Christian brothers out there? Are we to expect Mitt Romney? Is he going to be the one that's going to protect him? Or Bill Barr? Are you going to protect him? Who's going to protect those children? Well, I think it's very clear who's supposed to. Those of us who lap our water right out of our hands. We're waiting for everybody to come along. I'm waiting for the Baptists to join us, the Presbyterians and the Methodists and the Church of God and the Church of God in Christ and Church of God in Christ and Christian Union and Church of God in Christ and Christian Union Reform. I'm waiting for all those guys to come along with this. And here it is. Lord already said, "Get rid of that. Hey, don't worry about them. Don't worry about them." A long time ago, they started acting like puppies. They started drinking their water with their head buried down in the water. Ooh, I heard that, Lord. Israel's watchmen are blind. They're all dumb dogs, afraid to bark, lying down, loving the slumber. So I want to encourage you today that victory is on the horizon. You heard me. We're going over. We're not going under. I'm telling you, we're going over. We are a victorious church. We're victorious. We're not going under. But if you think that we're going to go over, looking at all these buildings around us with these 6-foot icicles in the pulpits, you're looking at the wrong thing. God has never operated with majorities, ever, ever. Because if you operate and win with majorities, a lot of people, then the Lord, then we take credit for it. See, we did it. We did it. How do we get in this mess, by the way, this lie of the separation between the church and state? Madeline Murray O'Hare, one woman, right? No, I'm sorry. That was Everson versus the Board of Education. And they said there was a separation between the church and state. They took that on. They took prayer out of the school. They took Bible reading out of the school. They just went in there and they just began to rip all that stuff out because why? The church was sitting around playing tiddlywinks. Wasn't important to the church. The one barrier, the restrainer, was the church, and the church didn't restrain. The church didn't care. It didn't matter to the church. We look around today and we see the seeds of our disobedience. We see the weeds are growing all around us, and we still don't have any clue what needs to be done. And I you're not going to like this one. Kyle, right wing watch, you're not going to like this. But ultimately what happens, you have to tear down the weeds, boys. I found out out up at Sky High, a lot of weeds got to come down, man. It's hard work. Oh, my goodness. But I'm going to tell you something. Sky High ain't anything what it was before. It doesn't look anything like it looked before. It wasn't done by a majority. It was done by a Gideon who sent us a skid steer and pull that side. It didn't take a whole lot of people to do it. In fact, you get too many people out there, you can't get anything. I'm rambling now. Are you guys picking up what I'm laying down?
Absolutely, Coach. Go back to Joshua. It was their biggest victory when they came up against Jericho that they trusted in the strength of their arm. Go back to when that court decision was about separation of church and state. I believe it was in the early 50s.
1947.
I'm sorry. There you go. That's perfect. That's even better because it came after America's greatest victory in World War II.
Yes, sir. We don't need the Lord anymore, do we, Dale? We don't need the God. We don't need God anymore. Yep. We don't need God anymore.
Yeah, and Coach, this is kind of why I've changed the theme of my videos. I've become more aggressive in my videos because of the coward, emasculated Christian male. Yes, I'm trying to reawaken that masculine aggression.
Bobby, if they're scared of masculinity, I don't want to play with them, man. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is a war for guys who laugh with their eyes on the enemy. That's the war I'm looking for. That's what we're
and take off those tight, skinny jeans and high Converse sneakers. You can't fight in those things.
You can't, Dale. Amen.
See, Dave, one of the things is if the quote-unquote church, if they have a disagreement with each other, everybody shuts down their printing presses and there's no progress. While the other side, if they have a disagreement with each other, they keep on printing. They just say, we'll offer it a correction.
Well said, Chad. That's right. They keep cranking out their lies, don't they? Excuse me. I'm fighting this summer cold. They just keep cranking out their lies. They don't worry about it. They don't worry about it. That's well said, man. We'd rather fight amongst ourselves. We'd rather fight over doctrine and theology and hermeneutics. And no, I mean, we're just such a mess. Robert, are you ready? September 24th. Yeah, what is saving faith?
I'm ready.
Okay, folks, again, I'm not his agent or anything, but Robert Klaus, this is great. This is a great devotional. Maybe you got a Bible study or something going on in people that you're fellowshipping with, home fellowship. What a cool thing to all be on the same page on every day, same thing. Starting your daily
devotional. That's why I bought mine, Coach.
Amen.
Coach, we ordered one. After hearing it about a week, I said, my wife said, we got to have that. That's powerful. This guy knows what he's good. And I agree.
See, Randy, great minds think alike. That's why I did mine too.
So let me tell you this so that you guys know this. Robert will never tell us. Robert was on the faculty at Liberty University. He was on the faculty there. And he started poking the bear in the wrong spot. And the next thing you know, Robert wasn't on the faculty anymore at Liberty University. Most of you aren't aware of that. Go ahead, Robert. September 24th here, brother.
Okay. This verse, you're talking about keeping your eyes on your enemy and talking about faith. This is going to talk about active faith, what biblical faith is. But before, I want to read Hebrews 12:1. Says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, and one of those is Joshua, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Mm-hmm. So we're fixing our eyes on Jesus, author and perfecter of faith. And like he said to Joshua, don't have fear, have courage, have faith. In the promise of God, go and claim the land. Have faith. So this devotion today is about active faith. And by the way,
Robert, just a second, Robert. Why aren't the homos afraid? Why isn't Barney Frank afraid? Why isn't that? What's that? Jerry Nadler? Why aren't they afraid? Why are they so bold in what they do and we cower in the corner?
That's true.
Go ahead, Robert.
And Dale, when you get the book, you can turn to page 461 in the subject index, and you can go under activism. In 28 times, 28 different days, I explicitly address this idea of activism. So you can go back in the index and look at that. But today, here's a quote from Arthur Wallace.
Robert, let me stop you a second, Robert. I did not read this yesterday. So it just shows the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is. Go ahead, brother.
I haven't read that. That's amazing. Arthur Wallace says, apostolic preaching is not marked by its beautiful diction or literary polish or cleverness of expression, but operates in demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
Wow. Amen.
So then now I'm going to read, what is saving faith? There's 18 verses here. I won't tell you the references. This book has 4,000 scriptures in it. This one has 18 in this subject. What is saving faith? The scripture says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The author of Hebrews demonstrated throughout chapter 11 that true biblical faith results in action.
Amen.
Paul commended the Thessalonian Christians and acknowledged them as being chosen by God because he remembered their work of faith, their labor of love, and their steadfastness of hope. Remember, work of faith. James says that faith without works is dead, and that such faith cannot save, since it is useless.
Hmm.
Then we go on. It says, man is not justified by a faith that never is evidenced by works subsequent to salvation. Hmm. When John the Baptist, and it says subsequent to salvation, we're not saved by works before, but if you have saving faith, you'll have works after.
Amen. That's, folks, you'll miss that, right? Your works cannot save you. You're saved only by the blood of Jesus Christ. But once you are saved, there will be works.
That's true. When John the Baptist saw many of the religious Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, you know, his reply was, bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. For one who has truly repented will possess a faith that is accomplished by salvation works. They work out their salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that God is mightily at work within them.
Amen.
They are being sanctified or set apart for service to God, such one God, and are committed to his purpose, having exercised true repentance toward God in saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Paul could not have been more clear about this when he said, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Romans 2:13. And Jesus said that every branch in him, the true vine, which does not bear fruit, is cut off and burned.
Once saved, always saved, I thought, Robert.
What's that?
Once saved, always saved, I thought. Huh?
Really? Jesus said, indeed, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees, and so every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire.
Man, this is pretty clear, isn't it? Huh? It's pretty clear.
Jesus says, you will know them by their fruit. He says also, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Paul said, for to this end Christ died and lived again. What? So he could join the church, get baptized, raise a hand, boldly raise a hand when every head is bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. Boldly raise that hand? No. He lived, died, and lived again that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living.
Amen.
And that's what Paul preached. He says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. This requires obedience. As Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? So that's active faith. That's the faith that overcomes the world, as you said. We're not under things, but over things. Faith overcomes the world. It claims the promises of God. It enters the promised land. It takes what God has said is ours. But we have to go and win, fight, claim the promise, and exercise faith.
We got to go score the touchdowns. Got to go score the touchdowns. Come on in here, somebody. Good writing, Robert.
Hey, coach. Yeah, I'm going to come in here for a second. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Because I'm on my way to work right now, and literally, I'm passing this guy with an abortion system. This is fire right here. And
we can't hear you, Bobby. Can't hear you.
Come over here for a second. Really fire. You're going to – this is CoachDaveLive.com. And CoachDaveLive.com. You're on live right now. This is a Christian online broadcast show. We're on the street. You're looking at somebody that is a member of the Salt and Light Brigade. We got groups nationwide, and we're on the street all over the nation against these abortion slaughterhouses, against the mass homosexual indoctrination. So it's amazing that, it's amazing that I'm passing you with this sign right now. And
not an accident.
Coach Dave, you see this, right?
I do. Yes, we do.
Yeah, anything you – come a little closer. Anything you want to say to this good man right here?
Equal justice. Equal justice for all. That's what you're talking about, right? Gosnell's in jail, and this other dude's not in jail, right? We see it everywhere we look. Equal justice under the law. One set of rules for everybody. That used to be the Christian standard, and we don't have it anymore. We have to fight to bring that back. God bless you, man, for being out there.
God bless you, sir. Gentlemen,
all right.
Have a great day. God bless you.
All right.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Bobby. Thanks, Bobby. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, you know, I've heard many, many, many times from behind many, many, many pulpits that you can't do anything. There's no work that'll save you. But that is not truly logically accurate, because it takes a work of your will, of your flesh, to repent and decide to turn around. If you don't do the work of repentance, you don't get in the kingdom.
It's simple, Larry.
You have to repent before you get saved.
You have to repent before you get saved. That's right. Well, we don't even understand any of that. Hey, listen, here's what I want to do real quickly. See, Connor, do you have that video that I talked about before we went on the air? Folks, listen. We used to have a standard of morality in America. This should be a wake-up call to everybody, all right? Remember Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals was this: that you make the enemy live up to his own standards. Now, here's our problem. We don't even have a standard of morality anymore. The standard of morality for 240 years in this nation was the Christian Bible. It was the multiculturalism as an assault on Christianity. Folks, that's all it is. Can two walk together lest they agree? Do we have a common set of morality in America today? Do we? Well, of course not. The answer is no. That's the essence of multiculturalism. That is the essence of Sharia law, a different set of rules and regulations which they will live by. We have a group of people who have no faith in Christ or God or whatever, atheists, whatever you want to call them. They are living by their own set of rules. Folks, we cannot live in a culture and a society where we all don't share a common set of values. Now, here's what happens. This girl here obviously is a setup. Obviously. I want you to watch, as Chad would say, your emotions will betray you. I want you to watch what the Bible says. Women and children shall lead them. I want you to watch the power of emotions at work in this little girl. This little girl who has clearly been brainwashed and programmed and trained to go in front of she's speaking at the United Nations on global warming.
all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words, and yet I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you? For more than 30 years, the science has been crystal clear. How dare you continue to look away and come here saying that you're doing enough when the politics and solutions needed are still nowhere in sight? You say you hear us and that you understand the urgency. But no matter how sad and angry I am, I do not want to believe that. Because if you really understood the situation and still kept on failing to act, then you would be evil, and that I refuse to believe. The popular idea of cutting our emissions in half in 10 years only gives us a 50% chance of staying below 1.5 degrees, and the risk...
in the green gospel! Can't you see it? With the approval of the church preaching the green gospel. Oh, boy.
Meanwhile, they flew her in from Australia on one of them jet things, putting all the emissions in the air, and got into an SUV gas-guzzling vehicle when she arrived in New York and sat in an air-conditioned room that burns fossil fuel. Slap that little snotty girl.
Dale, you're so concerned about hypocrisy. What is going on?
Hey, I thought it was against the law to ship reptiles overseas in airplanes without all kinds of permits and things. Boy, she looked like a snake. Her face looked like a snake.
Yeah, well, Larry, it is what it is, right? It is what it is. So, folks, listen. I gotta show you this. Okay, let me find it. Go to. Did I send that to you? I know I did.
Hey, while you're looking for that, hey, Roger, Donald Trump responded into a tweet with her. Oh, what a nice little girl with a happy future.
You know, the crazy thing, and we won't spend time on climate change, but China. If they don't do anything, it won't make a hill of beans difference if it's true or false.
That's right. I got something I want to show you here. Of course, I can't show you because I don't know how to do stuff. I had a file that I copied and sent to Jared. Jared, see if you can. I don't know how to make this thing work. I sent you a. I'm looking at what he put up on the wall. Maybe I'll just try to pack this away and save this for tomorrow. Yeah, I'll do it because I want to do it right. Listen, folks, listen. Here's what we got to understand. There is no standard. We have no common standard of right and wrong in America today. We have no common standard. We have no common standard of right and wrong in our churches. If we had a common standard of right and wrong in our churches, can you explain to me why the homosexual agenda would be taught in our schools? If the community values were such that everyone was teaching the same thing to their children, which we used to do, by the way, none of this stuff would be going on in our public schools. None of it would. We know this. The public schools aren't public. They're government. They're government schools. They take your taxes, they give it to the government, and the government divvies it out to the schools. And if you don't do what the government tells you to do, they withhold your funds. And so LGBTQ stuff comes in, sex education comes in. You, with your tax dollars, are paying for your child's education to be undermined. And you know what happens? You wake up and they're 14, 15, 16 years old, and they no longer even share the values in your home. They don't even share those values anymore. let alone do they not share them in values anymore. The government is totally adrift with a new set of values. Multiculturalism. Everybody doing what is right in their own eyes. That's what it says I can't remember where it is in the scriptures. When there was no king in Israel. By king, it meant ultimate authority. When there was no king in Israel, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. The law was king. The moral law was king. The moral law was king. Folks, there is no moral law in America today. Now, who is the keeper of the law? Who is the gatekeeper of morality in America? Who should be the keeper, gatekeeper of morality in America? Well, the church used to have a steeple on top of it down in the corner. That was it. Until the churches became infiltrated and churches began to accept the things of the world because they wanted to be accepted by the world. When Jesus told us to love not the world nor the things of the world. That we are flowing upstream. We're going cross current to the things of the world. Yet we invite all the worldly things into our churches. Prosperity on and on and on and on and on. We need a tremendous reformation in America. We need a reformation. But the reformation is not going to happen if those of us who are adamant about it continue to remain silent. That just isn't going to happen. The whole lie of the separation between the church. I'm rambling. We must
become spiritual minded, spiritual human people. We can't be soul men. This little girl appeals as an emotional object. Everyone that's emotional, she appeals to them. Why? Because the emotions are the soul. That's the soul. We have to appeal by the spirit. He that is spiritual judges all things. We have to become spiritually walking people in our lives so that we see the difference, we can speak the difference, we can be the difference. We have to understand this.
To be carnally, Randy, to be carnally minded, the Bible says, is death. And we're carnally minded. Our churches are carnally minded. We're citizens of heaven. We're just passing through here. We're to take dominion here as we pass through. That's what we're supposed to do because the promise was given to our ancestors.
Coach, I can go down to, in Tulsa in the black area of the town, North Tulsa, and there's a church on every corner. Okay, you can go in there, man, they have service. Man, they can jump around. And even the Baptists, it's lively. You know what? They're called soul people.
Okay.
Let me tell you, it's not spiritual. How can they step out of that building and then go back to life and become leftist and anti-God people and hate God, but yet they love him in that building? Let me tell you, we have to discern the difference between the soul and the spirit. You lay down your soul. That's what Jesus did. He laid down his soul unto death in the garden. We have to learn to lay down what our soul, we have to see the difference. And until we do, we can't judge what's the soulish things because we're soulish. We have to become spiritual.
We're to have the mind of Christ, right?
Amen.
Amen. If your soul's made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says that we are to wash our minds, right? With the water of the word, right? That we're to take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because why? The mind is what controls the soul. The mind does. That's why it's the battleground of the mind. That's why they're continually.
That's it.
Listen now. Soul, mind, will, and emotions. Now, I want you to think about those three. The mind, the will, and the emotions. And you answer this very simple question for me. Which one of those three drives most people? Their mind, their ability to think, their will, their ability to do what they want to, or their emotions. I would say that 85% random thought of the problems that we have in America are emotion-driven. Chad Estes, your emotions will betray you. Now, why would they put this 14-year-old girl in front of us with, did anybody check her credentials? Anybody check her schooling? Does she have a PhD in it. Anybody check her credentials, or is she just all of a sudden gets to speak to the UN? How does that work? And if that is not a demonic assault on truth, I don't know what it is. Think the church recognizes it? No, I don't think so. Church is buying into global warming, by the way. Church is buying into homosexuality. Church is buying into adultery and living together and divorce. The church is buying into all that. Church is accepting abortion. It's accepting it. Some churches are promoting it. Some churches are praying for abortion. You see, can't we see what's going on? So ultimately, this revolution or this reformation that's going to take place in America, folks, I got to tell you this. It's going to happen outside the church. It's not going. It can't possibly happen inside those compromised four walls that most people go to. It can't happen there. It's too compromised, too watered down, too soulish, as Randy has said. That's my take. Save me. I've got 4 minutes left. Somebody come in here and save me. I had some good stuff I didn't get to today. Oh, let me do this. John Diamond's conference is coming up this weekend. And it's a one-day event. Connor, if you can pull that up real quickly on this, because I was going to talk about Chad's place this weekend too. All you guys out there in Texas and Oklahoma and everybody close to there, get to Chad's. Chad's having another event at his house this weekend.
I'm going down, and I'm telling you, we're going to have revival down there at Chad's. I'm telling you, something special is going to come out of this weekend meeting.
I wish I could be there, man. Yeah. I got like four places I want to be. The Faith and Freedom Conference. John Diamond, by the way, is going to be on with Doug Hagman tonight. So you want to catch that talking about this. This is going to be put the view schedule up there. I have people that complain. Say, how come you guys charge? This should be free. I just don't even know what to say to people when they say stuff like that. I don't even know what to say to them. Can you tell me something else you go to that's free? Go to the Bengals. Is that free? You go to a concert, is that free? You don't even go to church and it's free. They take a tithe. Mike Spaulding's going to be the moderator. Dran Reese is going to speak on biblical citizenship. Dr. Bill Fetter, if you've never heard Bill Fetter, that's worth a trip right there. Matt Truella, doctor of lesser magistrate interposition. John Diamond on appealing to heaven. Dan Fisher going to talk about bringing back the Black Robe Regiment. Good luck on that one, Dan. I'm with you. Rusty Thomas. Religious, social, moral, political duties of the church. Bradley Dean on secular humanism in public schools. And then I'm going to talk about equipping the saints to go into the world with power and authority. This is up in Erie, Pennsylvania. Day's drive for many of you. It's going to be a fabulous conference. Anybody can make it. Love to see you there. Excuse me. Again, the details are right there on our website. All right. Catch John on Hagman tonight. You'll be good. Golly, next month, somebody said to me, you ever stay home? I said, yeah, I pass through there every once in a while. Wish I could be more places. Wish I could. Wish I could wake up more. Wish I could raise up more people. More and more and more. That's what I wish. Thanks for tuning in today. Hey, folks, it doesn't take a whole lot of us. It just takes enough of us. A committed minority setting brush fires in the minds of the people. That's what we have to do. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who we represent. He is king right now. He is not a soon coming king. He is king right now over all the world. Jesus Christ is Lord. Why don't we act like it? God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.